Exactly. If you want to be part of the conversation, WhatsApp 072-567-1567. Your calls anytime on 021-446-0567. A new play coming to the Baxter Theatre, The Sin Drinkers. Entitled The Sin Drinkers. It nearly sounds Louis is an award-winning playwright, amongst other things. Sounds really like Communion.
Well, that's where I became fascinated with the idea of transferring your sins to someone else, and then I started to think, what would that feel like if you had to carry, along with your own things, you have to carry someone else's shame and sins, and you know. So I became interested in that, and then I wanted to take the religious aspects out of it because I have no interest in that, and just focus on, can we carry the awfulness of another human being in us? And then I was like, and alcohol. So then it became the Sin Drinkers.
I got you. Louis is our guest today. Louis Viljoen, a writer and director, award-winning writer and director, may I add. He's written more than 20 performed plays, one of South Africa's best independent theatre makers. He wrote The Outlaw Makridge, a one-man show for which John was nominated for the Fleur du Cap Award as Best Actor, and Louise was nominated for Best New Script. So there's a history between you and John specifically.
Yeah, we became friends during... we acted in Shakespeare in Love, and then we were talking sort of over the years about maybe I should write some something, so I wrote The Outlaw Makridge, and then that did well. And ever since then, we spoke about, well, are we going to do something else? And I was like, well, I don't want to do another one-man show because I've been doing a few of those in a row. And I wanted to see what it was like with him opposite another actor. And then I wrote it, and I showed it to him, and he says, great. And then we got Emma Kotze on board, and then there we went.
You've written 20 plays. You make it sound so easy. Does it just come completely, or does it just evolve from word to word?
I am compelled to do it. I don't really know how to do anything else. Sometimes an idea just sort of pops into my head, or a title, and I just feel that I...
You say you're compelled to do it. Is it the bond that is so compelling, or what is?
Well, no, yeah, there is that. But the issue is that I am an independent, you know, so you don't make a lot of money. So you have to make sure that you know where your next project will be. And ever since COVID shut down most of the independent spaces in Cape Town, we don't have any more. So the Masamba is really the only place where you could afford to start a play at zero. So yes, part of me is compelled to do it for financial reasons, but the other part of me is just, I think, and I hate to say this because it sounds awful, but I just think I'm a writer at my heart, so I have to, otherwise I feel empty.
Okay, so you have an idea in your head, and it evolves literally from word to word.
Yeah, and I just, I sit down and I go, and then, you know, you just write and write and write, and then you look at what it is, and it's mostly trash, and then... And you throw it away.
And you clean it up.
And you try again, you know.
I am absolutely fascinated with John, and I have been. I've listened to John since the inception of this particular radio station, and I just hold him in such high esteem. I think he's the consummate talk radio presenter in the whole wide world. It's like that. It's like that. What's he like to work with?
He's generous. He's very willing to just throw himself into it. He's old school, so he has to find a way into it, and you have to allow that process to happen. But as soon as he finds his way into it, then it goes, man. He understands that he leaves his ego behind, so it's not about him. It's about telling that story in that particular way, and to work with an actor that's free of that mess that ego brings along with it is just excellent. It's smooth.
I would imagine there's even more evolution when your actors are on the stage living out your words.
Yeah, it's that's why I adore actors, because I can write. I can only write so much, and then I think, oh, I'm great. This is amazing, but then it gets put into the mouths of talented actors, and you go, oh, now it exists. Because otherwise, it's just me alone in a room, enjoying myself, you know, but with them, it's life, you know.
Okay, so we've got Louis Viljoen. He's the award-winning writer and director. There is John Mathan. John plays Frank, A practiced booze hound and a hunter of people tracks down his daughter's best friend in the hopes of unearthing secrets and solving a mystery that has caused a rot in his soul. Then there's Teresa, played by Emma Kotsa. An aimless young woman masking her regrets with debauchery and a sharp tongue reluctantly invites Frank into her life. Into her home or into her life?
Both.
In order to rectify the mistakes in her past.
Yeah.
Some intrigue there. What follows, they say, is a darkly comedic, whiskey-soaked journey into the darkest parts of the human condition, or the human psyche. What were you looking to find there?
I don't know. I forgot how florid that press release is, which I wrote, you know. What it is just to explore what happens if you finally try to let go of the things that have sort of weighed your soul down, and can someone else help you with that? Can you share transgressions, and does it relieve you, or does it just weigh the other person down? You know, is it a good thing? Is it a bad thing? So that's what the play explores.
Is it redemption?
It could be. I mean, I think that's what we all sort of search for at the end of the day. But we don't always find it, you know. So the play is asking those things. Is it a redemption? Is it damnation? It could be anything, and for these two people
to
figure it out.
Okay, you don't drive us to a conclusion.
No.
Okay.
Well, no, I leave the conclusion up to you, because I find that more interesting. You know, if you tell an audience exactly what it's about, then they just go, okay, well, thank you, that's it.
You would know, you've written 20 plays. Okay.
Yeah.
So what does it mean when you say the play has been described as darkly comedic and explores the darkest parts of the human psyche? and I see there's an age restriction coupled to it as well.
Yeah. Well, the age restriction is mostly for language. It is explicit, but more so the things they describe that happened in their lives, that's where the real issue is. That's where it becomes really dark. But the darkly comic parts are, you also don't want an audience to like sit there and drown in the muck, you know. So you make certain parts
light.
Light and funny, even if it's still awful.
Sure.
You can throw in a nice line there, or you can make a moment a bit lighter, you know. You can have a back and forth that's humorous. And I think that keeps the play sort of entertaining, and that leads people back into the swamp of uncertainty.
Is alcohol an important factor in this battle with self?
No, I think it was more a way of sort of trying to get them together, and like drinking is such a social thing also. So it's something these two people enjoy doing. So it's something they both enjoy, and it calms them down, but also, like, the more you drink, then the more things emerge. Yeah. You know,
it loosens them up, and they tell their secrets.
Yes, yeah, and that's why because also you also have to have the, because the problem with my plays is they talk a lot, so you also have to find other things for people to do on stage. So they have to, so it just makes sense for them to have a drink. Otherwise, it's just two very mean, disturbed people in a room saying terrible things to each other.
I want to understand the inspiration.
Yeah.
I want to understand the inspiration. You're not imagining characters. You're clearly talking, having experienced the kind of characters in your real life.
No, I don't. I lead a very normal life. I'm not...
boring.
Yeah. No, I am. I think we all have a well of darkness inside of us. And some people hide it, and some people, unfortunately, sort of swim in it. I just have access. I can access it. I can just go in there, and I don't have to... I don't have to sit in it. I can just use that. And I suppose that's what being a writer is you observe people and situations and yourself, and then you turn that into characters.
Sure. I'm a recovering Philistine.
Okay.
I found the lights.
Okay.
I'm growing into theater like you absolutely won't believe. And, you know, in my universe, people are asking me to talk about the experience, the theater experience, and what ultimately is its USP. What would you say it is?
I have no idea. There is something about the magic of seeing something live there in front of you. It wasn't shot a year ago and edited, and so you see actors being true. I mean, especially if they're good actors,
yeah.
Then you see people every night not lie to each other in the framework that is essentially a lie, because it's not your life up there. But the best actors out there, and I think the best writers, write and act an emotional truth that makes it thrilling to experience, you know. And then especially in a smaller venue, when you're like right on top of the actors, and they don't have big costumes or songs or anything, it's just these people looking at each other and not lying, and that's thrilling.
And you say there's a relevance for theatre in today's age.
I believe so. Yeah, I think it because of that thrill, and because you can get away with a lot more subversive ideas on stage, because often it's not owned by anybody. It's not.
It's not yours.
Yeah, but it's not on. It's not the SABC or anybody else. You know, it's just you and these and this team, and nobody's. Well, you know, certainly with me, nobody's going to tell me what to do.
Yeah.
So with that, if the play then fails, it's on me.
Yeah.
But then also, if it succeeds, I can say, well, look, this is why we need independent thought in theatre.
Absolutely, I think that absolutely is necessary. I'm gonna use your answer in response to the questions.
Great.
Why theatre? Why not a movie? I'm trying to get the Philistines into theatre. It is an immersion. It's an immersive experience,
is it
not?
Yeah, it is. It is completely, especially if it's done well.
Yeah.
You just get sucked into it, you know. And that's why it becomes so irritating if you see someone, you know, if there's someone near you and they, even if they're immersed, like they think it's TV, so they think they can talk. And then, like, I would never in a shop or anywhere else, like, tell anyone to shh, you know, I wouldn't. But in theatre, I'm there immediately.
You
I'm like,
can't be half pregnant there.
Shut up. We have to experience this.
I am chatting with Louis Villeun. He's a writer and director of The Sundrinkers. It's coming to the Baxter Theatre shortly. I'm just wanting to know, are you looking to push the envelope when it talks to explicit language and maybe scenes of a sexual nature?
No, I don't. I'm not trying to. I write what I believe is required for that story. There's also just the joy in language that I like and I live in. And profanity is very often part of that.
Absolutely.
You know? So it's not, I don't want to hide it, and I don't want to, you know, I don't want to step away from it, but it's not needed, but it can.
I'm not sure how I'm going to respond to John Matham in scenes of a sexual nature.
Well, it's more, I'll put your mind at ease. It's mostly spoken about, you know.
Oh, okay, thank goodness for that.
Like, you don't see him in his underwear or anything, so.
Thank you for saving us, Louis Villeun, from that sight. When is it happening? When is it going down at the
back? We have our first show on the 23rd of April, which is next week, and then we run until the 11th of May.
23rd of April, 11th of May, bookings at?
At Web Tickets.
At Web Tickets. I think you want to go and see this. I think you want to go and see it. The Sin Drinkers coming to the Baxter Theatre. You know where to get your tickets, and you'll probably find me in the foyer.